and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to the final episode of this year. This he holds God free. I'm listening to episode 429. The cool thing about this episode is that we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew up in here. We're going to talk about the best games of 2015. All right, so we're going to start with Paris. Paris, what's up, man?
Oh, not much, man. Just end of the year. A lot of Star Wars talk, ironically enough. And let's do it.
First of all, I would like to say, if you guys watched Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and you want to hear a great podcast that had a discussion about the movie and theories and everything, head over and download Remember When. That's with Paris and Jay. Great job, Paris.
Thank you.
I had a great conversation listening to this with my girlfriend. So shout out to you guys, man. Great job on the podcast, man. And also we have Patrick. Patrick, what's up?
Yeah, so I was the last person on Earth to see Star Wars. I'm ashamed of it, but it was incredible. I saw it in IMAX. I can't wait to go see it again, but I'm doing good, man. So many games to think about. And the fact that now I really want a good Star Wars game right now, and there's just not one, kind of bums me out. But you know, bring on the marketing machine, Disney. You give me Star Wars stuff, I will consume it, because I'm all in the fever right now.
And Pete Rock. So Pete,
hey, what's up, everybody, man? Star Wars has consumed my life.
Head over to gamertagradio.com or play that it and listen to our past episodes. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Hey, Gamertag crew, this is Odie from Chicago, just calling in with my 2 cents for Tomb Raider. Danny, even if they sold a million copies, I don't think they would even break even. Remember, the first Tomb Raider sold 5 million copies, and Square Enix declared that a failure because it didn't meet the amount of money that they spent making the game, which I think was like $80 million. So even if they sold a million copies, it probably wouldn't even cover the cost to make the game, let alone however much Microsoft put in. That's just my 2 cents. Hopefully, I think they should give it another push come January with that, and for games for Windows. And hopefully it'll do better, because it is a great game.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? How you guys doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Man, I want to say, this has been a wonderful, wonderful year for you guys. As a listener, I have thoroughly enjoyed myself listening to the show every single week. And once again, I want to thank you guys so much for your hard work.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Jacob giving you guys a call from Charlotte. Just wanted to say, really enjoyed the year. Enjoyed the extra content that you guys have been giving us with the 2 shows a week instead of just the one. You know, at my job, I really, I got to zone out. So I listen to your podcast quite often, listen to all the interviews and everything. I love it. First and foremost, just wanted to let you guys know that.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
2015 has been a great year, you know, with games and stuff. So we're going to have a great roundtable discussion about our top 5 games of 2015 and also honorable mentions and just the year overall of 2015. So we're going to talk about it right now. So let's start off, guys. Overall, what are your thoughts about just gaming in this year in 2015?
you know, reflecting on 2015... I mean, there were some highlights and there were definitely some lowlights. It was a mixed bag. There were great games. There were some games that I absolutely adored that came out this year, and there were some games that just were huge disappointments to me. And we saw some. I don't see issues in the dev side. It just you know, it kind of opened my eyes to some things that need to be cleaned up in game development as well, is what I take from 2015. You know, looking forward into 2016, you know, hopefully we can see some of these things alleviated. But yeah, definitely a mixed bag.
I can see some of Paris's complaints. I guess overall I was pretty optimistic going into this year. You know, I had the Xbox One, I had the PlayStation 4. I was all excited for all this big stuff. You know, Microsoft saying this was the biggest year in Xbox gaming. Probably wouldn't totally agree with that because I've been playing Xbox since day one, but I enjoyed my experience with both systems. I've had a lot of fun with these games. Some disappointments, I guess, but overall, I've really enjoyed this year. It's kind of like a build-up to next year, which is what we're all really looking forward to. But gaming-wise, I was very satisfied. You know, as a hardcore gamer with, you know, both major consoles, I'm happy. I do starting to feel a little bit of a loss of not having a Wii U at this point because some of these games like Xenoblade Chronicles are coming out, and I'm like, oh man, that does look really fun, but I'll hold off. Let me see what the NX is about. You know, Nintendo, you may get my wallet next year. We'll have to wait and see. But overall, I was very satisfied. I really enjoyed my 2015 gaming experience. It was a blast, and there was a lot of those kinds of games you just put hours upon hours upon hours into, and it doesn't seem like you're really chipping away at completing them, but you're having a great time. You're involving yourself in these worlds, and I've had a lot of really fun multiplayer experiences too. So both sides of the spectrum, single player and multiplayer, very satisfied with 2015. Had a lot of fun.
I thought that this year was going to be like the next 2007, and it wasn't really like there was a lot of games, but it wasn't exactly like how I was with 2007.
Yeah, when we started the year, I felt like a little bit of that hype, but I think kind of dissipated pretty quickly once I realized, you know, what we actually were going to get versus all the things that were delayed into next year or things that, you know, were only in conceptual stages at this point. Like we saw some cool stuff at E3 that's like, oh, that looks amazing, but, you know, give that time. You know, I don't need that to come out now. Let them work more on it.
That's a good thing. There was a lot of delays, and I think that's going to help the development of all these games that got delayed and stuff. So it's cool. You know, and what about you, Pete?
I think for 2015, obviously it's been the best year for Gamertag Radio. We've had so many more opportunities this year, primarily as a result of, you know, coming on board with CBS and Play.it. You know, big shout out to them and thank you for, you know, giving us the platform to do bigger, better things than we've done in the previous years. Not to say what we've done in the past is any lesser, but being with CBS and Play.it now gives us that much larger opportunity for bigger, better things. Shout out, finally got a PlayStation. Hey!
That's true.
Yes, you know, so I think, you know, now we're all the real gamers now. Just, I think that's the biggest thing for us. I mean, right now it's just, you know, having that opportunity and for us to do, you know, much more. And I can't wait to see what we do for 2016, because right now it's looking pretty nuts.
Yeah, I think 2016 is going to be very interesting. Like, yeah, you know, I think we're going to start the year strong. You know, Pete and Paris are attending some event somewhere in the United States, and that's going to be pretty cool to start the new year. And then Patrick later in January is going to be checking out some other stuff too. So yes, great way for us to start January, you know, great content for our listeners, you know. And I can imagine later on, like exactly like in June for like E3 and stuff like that, and all these games coming out in spring too. Like, well, the other day I think Uncharted got delayed until I think moved to April
26th.
And here's the thing, there's so many games coming out that month. There's Quantum Break, Uncharted 4, I believe
Ratchet and Clank,
and there's one more coming out that month, which I can't remember exactly. And we didn't even know about the indie games coming out that month too. You know, so man, that they're starting the year strong too, you know. Okay, everybody's quiet.
All right, so
I'm excited.
What was there to say?
No, just saying.
Don't forget, you also have Division coming out, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that month.
March or April?
March.
No,
or
it's
April.
In March. It's March? Beginning of March. Yeah.
Ooh. All right, but I think we should talk about our top five top games of 2015. Let's do it right now. So, is there any games that couldn't make it to your list, and you know, we should give it props that it was a great game and stuff like that? Your honorable mentions. Who wants to start? Because I have two, which I've been debating for weeks to see which one I should put in there or not. So I'm going to put one first, is Dying Light. I think that is one of my favorite zombie games this year. I played it a lot with Patrick a couple times online, co-op. Mm-hmm. And just the whole experience of playing it daytime and nighttime. If you really want to rank up and get extra experience, play it in a harder difficulty at night. The bosses and just the enemies in there is pretty intense and crazy. I had a great time. I think that this is one of the games that I played a lot overall in 2015 from start to finish, nonstop. And also playing with other community members too. It was pretty cool, you know, four-player co-op. And I find it better than the last game that these developers released, Dead Island. Yeah, there was bugs in this one here and there, but overall, I think it was like a better game overall. Also, Forza 6, I think to me, was like the best racing game in 2015. I had over 35 hours that I played with this. I played a lot of the campaign, you know, the career mode, I mean, and also I played online too. So great two games. And if you guys decide to buy this in the future, I highly recommend, especially Dying Light. They're going to be releasing a new expansion pack, I believe, early 2016, which is going to be pretty big too, you know. So what about you guys? Who wants to start with your honorable mentions first?
Honorable mentions, I'm going to say, and I have to give an apology, Star Wars Battlefront. I really didn't have a lot of expectation for the game, having played the demo or the beta, and then going into the launch, I didn't think I was going to have as much fun. I thought maybe I thought it was going to be a bit limited in game. Mm-hmm. Having played it online on both PlayStation and on Xbox One, it's a lot of fun. It really is, especially when you're playing with a group of friends. Mm-hmm. So I want to put that one out there. I know the next one that I'm going to say, it might catch some people off guard. Some people may not. I have to say The Division Alpha. The Division Alpha came out earlier this month for 3 days. And for those 3 days, it was the game that I've been wanting for the last 3 years. It's not just, you know, I've got the fanboy jacket on with the hat to match. It's the truth. It's exactly what I've been wanting in a game. And Ubisoft finally delivered. And it's just an alpha. So I can't wait till March comes out. And then I'm going to disappear off the internet. And that's all I'm going to be doing is playing The Division.
Okay. Who else? Who's next?
I guess I'll go. For me, it was tough to narrow it down to two, just because I wanted to be fair to both PlayStation and Xbox, because I kind of divide my time equally these days. But I would say the first honorable mention would probably be Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is a game I really, really enjoyed a lot. I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the story aspect, Lara's adventures. Again, Camilla Eddington did an excellent job bringing that character to life. Visually gorgeous. Gameplay was fun. I guess maybe it was almost too similar to its previous game, and maybe a lot of people didn't like that about it. I personally didn't have any problem with that, but I could see why maybe some people expected more of an expansion to the game. For me, I think that came more from the part that the environments were larger. There was more of a sense of exploration. The tombs are more hidden. I enjoyed the game a lot. But it's just where I thought when I beat the game, I would go back to it immediately. I still haven't gone back to it yet, because other games have been more, I guess, drawing to me. Like, I'm more wanting to dive back into those universes versus the Tomb Raider universe, where it's more like, I know I'm just going to go backtrack to the same environments, do the tombs again. I may play through the game again sometime next year, but I just felt maybe I would be more engaged into the game once the credits hit. But I felt satisfied with the story. So it was a self-contained game. I enjoyed it a lot, kind of like reading a good book. You put it down, you know, probably don't go back to it. So Tomb Raider gets knocked out of my top five just because I thought I would be more engaged with the gameplay, but I guess because I'd replayed the original Tomb Raider three times on, you know, 360, PS4, and Xbox One, I guess I pretty much burned myself out of that gameplay style, and now I'm more looking forward to what Uncharted 4 is going to do in that gameplay field. Mm-hmm. So that one's for me for Xbox. So then for PlayStation, I had to put Bloodborne in there, which is a game I really, really liked at the beginning of this year. Put so many hours into it, trying to desperately to get good at it, and then I got stuck because I advanced too far past my level, and I still have not been able to get myself out of that hole. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I guess, other than like maybe co-op with somebody and let them carry me out of it, because my skill level is just not where it needs to be. It's a game I want to go back to. I know they put out the old Hunters DLC recently. That's going to get me reinterested in the project, and it's definitely got me excited for Dark Souls 3 as well, where previously I didn't care at all about that whole game series, but now that I know I'm interested in this gameplay style, I credit Bloodborne for doing that, for finally getting me invested into these more realistic difficult RPGs that From Software is so famous for. So Bloodborne and Three Rises of the Tomb Raider be my honorable mentions for both platforms because they're really fun games, but I guess I expected myself to play them more than I actually ended up doing because my other top five games ended up sucking up much more of my time and kind of distracting me from them. But 2016, I'm looking forward to revisiting both of those titles and putting some more time into it and see maybe if I can, you know, get more enjoyment or just get better at Bloodborne, essentially.
I would say Tales from Borderlands since it came out in 2014, but it finished up in 2015. You know, fantastic story. Definitely one of the best that Telltale has had in these series of games that they put out, you know, in the past few years. Highly enjoyable. Anyone that's not checked it out yet, definitely recommend it.
All right. And also, very quick, most disappointing games of 2015. I have one.
Can I go first on this
one? Yeah, you could go.
Because it's funny how you'll ask us to say it, and then you're the one that answers it. I find it funny.
No, but, go.
Well, first of all, Batman Arkham Knight for
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Not as a console player, as a PC gamer, because they completely botched it and just took me out of that experience altogether. And it was a game coming into 2015 I was highly anticipating. And not to mention, even when I did sit down and start playing it, I can't stand the Batmobile. I still don't know why they force you to use that gameplay mechanic in certain situations. It really just takes away from the whole Batman experience. Gets a little frustrating at times. Mm-hmm. And probably my biggest disappointment for 2015, Halo 5, for what they've done to the campaign. I mean, they've completely ruined it, and they're borderline about to ruin the franchise, in my personal opinion. Not to mention even the rec pack stuff that they're doing on the multiplayer side was a huge distraction away from me being able to enjoy that as well. So, yeah, 343, you got a lot of work to do for Halo 6. That's all I have to say.
Well, I have one, The Order 1886, best-looking game for the PlayStation. But
best
man,
four-hour game ever.
Man, that game was very repetitive. It just got boring. I don't know. It was very disappointing. I thought this game was going to be, like, really, really big for PlayStation, but didn't like it at all, man. At all. Patrick, I know you played it a lot too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It's just two problems. It was a fourth of a game. They should have just kept working on it and made a full 8 to 10 hour game out of it, and people wouldn't be so upset. The other factor, you know, the whole selling point of fighting werewolves, that's the worst part of the game. And if your selling point is your worst part of the game, you know you have some design problems.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
And
totally agree.
It's totally beautiful. Agree. Like, I want them to revisit the universe. I like the universe a lot. I would want to play more games set into that, but they really have to sit down, put their nose to the grindstone, and actually make a full-fledged game out of it. You know, co-op multiplayer would be nice. You know, there's a lot of things that just make you go, what were they thinking? You know, was Sony just so adamant to push them into that launch window no matter what? It seemed detrimental.
Yeah. All right, so Patrick, you want to mention worst game?
I don't want to say worst game, but it's a disappointment.
Oh, disappointment. My bad.
For me, that was Star Wars Battlefront, which is a game that when it was announced, I thought would be the biggest game of 2015, just because I'm so passionate about Star Wars and I adored Battlefront 1 and 2. But their design decisions in the final game, namely, I'm referring to the fact that all of the cool stuff has to be picked up as a token on the map, and you're not rewarded for being good at the game, killed my hype for it. It just did not make it enjoyable. And on top of the fact, if you don't play with a party going into it, you can't talk to anyone on your team whatsoever. So it just felt like I was just running around playing with a bunch of bots on a map and no one was communicating, no one was working together. It was just chaos and it was very boring. And that just bummed me out because it seems like they put so much heart and soul into this game. You know, they went to the locations that George Lucas filmed the original trilogy, took pictures, made it photorealistic to that environment. The game's beautiful. I mean, you see that game in 4K on PC. It's gorgeous. One of the best looking games ever made. It's shallow. There's no single player content. There's only four maps technically. And each, you know, gameplay design is just a smaller portion of that map. I was just disappointed supremely by that.
Afro Samurai 2.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it did nothing to move forward with the first one. The first one was so much fun. It was great. And it felt shallow and a shell of the previous title. And the second one, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I forgot about
loved,
that one too.
I love skating and BMX type games, but it was horrible. It was just bad.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I'm going to go now with our top five games of 2015. And I'm going to start with number five very quick. I'm going to go with Halo 5. And the reason why I'm going with Halo 5 is not because of the story, more of the multiplayer, because I've been playing this game a lot with my brother. Like, I looked at my stats. I have 77 hours already played, hours spent on this game. And that's the thing. I used to play a lot of games with my brother back then, with like Fantasy Star Online and stuff like that, you know. But this is the only game that really got us together again to play multiplayer, you know, nonstop, you know. So I'll go with Halo 5. I had a great time too playing, you know, Warzone and Arena. So that's mine.
Kerbal Space Program.
Okay.
On Steam. I guess you could call it an RPG, but it's an indie game. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of like, I don't even know if it's an RPG. Some people call it an RPG. Some people say it's like some kind of a flight simulator. But it's available on all platforms. You can get it on PS4. You can get it on Xbox. You can get it on the Wii. You can get it on Steam. It's fun. And it's something that me and my kids have enjoyed playing.
All right.
For me, it was Until Dawn on PlayStation 4 from Sony. One of the most atmospheric, fun, original, unique horror games I've ever played. And it was even more fun watching someone play it the second time. You owe it yourself if you have PS4 to check out Until Dawn. It's absolutely a ton of fun. Just don't look up anything on it. Go into it blind. You'll have a great time, I promise.
And for me, I would say the Talos Principle. It technically came out in December of 2014, but nobody really heard about it until 2015. Was on the PC initially, and I know a deluxe edition is now out on the PlayStation 4. I've talked about it in the past. It is, to me, the spiritual successor to Portal. So I like to nickname it Portal 3. It's a fantastic puzzler.
All right, number four, I go with Until Dawn. Of course, Patrick, this is like the game that we talked about for a very long time during our review. And still, to me, I think it's one of my favorite exclusive games that came out for PlayStation 4 in a very long time. And this game, I played it together with my girlfriend. So we were there, like, having, you know, discussion, like, who is the person not to trust and what we should do. And it was a great experience playing that. You know, and I honestly can't even think of other games that I've done that with her, you know. So, you know, Until Dawn, if you have a PlayStation 4, highly, highly recommended. One of my favorite games for this year.
I'm going to go with Ori and the Blind Forest as my number four for 2015. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing game from Moon Studios. One of those games that actually gets you right in the heart. I know Poston may not feel this later on, but because, you know, he's a little cold. But
Ice cold.
It's a platformer exclusive to the Xbox One. Hopefully it gets onto other platforms later on in its life cycle, simply just so that more people can play it. Phenomenal gameplay. The story is great. The music is amazing. It's a great game.
For me, it'd be Fallout 4. It basically took the idea that maybe Bethesda had been working on since Skyrim, of trying to make an all-inclusive, unique, fun RPG, and by adding the Fallout mechanics to it, I really love this game. It's a fantastic shooter. It's a fantastic RPG. I love the world exploration. The dialogue obviously could use a little improvement from the past games, but in terms of being an immersive experience, one of the most fun games I've played all of year. I highly recommend, if you have any interest at all in, you know, first-person RPGs, you check out Fallout 4, but you probably already played it and are playing it right now like I am, because it's a ton of fun.
My number four, which I'm sure no one's going to see coming, NBA 2K16.
What? Okay. All right.
And I have to thank my son for this, because he plays it all the time, and I would watch. I'm like, man, wait a minute. This is kind of fun now. And shout out to the guys over at Spawn on Me, because if they hear this, they're probably going to drive off the road, because I've been doing this kind of in secret. But yeah, I freaking love the game. It's a lot of fun.
By the way,
totally shocked.
It is the best sports simulation game in 2015, in my personal opinion.
Shout out to Khalif. He's probably got the greatest name for his custom character on 2K16. That's all I'm going to say.
Awesome. All right, number three, I go with Ori and the Blind Forest. To this day, the best introduction of any game of this year. Hands down. And it's honestly, I almost even cried when I played the first few minutes.
I did cry, and you know how I am.
What?
Prologue. Yeah. Right. Well, that's the prologue, but it got me.
It's happened.
It's finally happened. No, but honestly, it's the best intro of any game compared to this year. The best one so far. So awesome. So yeah, that's my number three. And plus the puzzles, just the music overall, everything is just hands down one of my favorites this year for sure. So.
Wow. I'm still in shock that Poston cried.
All right. All
right. So I'm going to follow up with Fallout 4 as my number three pick. Phenomenal game. Knocked it out of the park. My only complaint would be that it's almost, at this point, it feels like a Skyrim mod. And I hope that future DLC or future release packs for this improve it. I can't wait till the mod system gets fully released so that everybody can enjoy and play around. There is some silly stuff out there right now, I have to admit, but Fallout 4 is for my number three.
So my number three is Dying Light, which is one of the games I have literally put about 200 hours into, and I did not think I would, but I adore this game. I do think it's the best zombie game since Left 4 Dead 2. It has taken up the mantle. It's just one of the most immersively fun, I guess you call it like a stress relief game, because it has the intensity of the nighttime missions and then the relaxing part of the daytime missions, as well as hacking apart zombies. You got the cooperative multiplayer in there. You have a competitive mode where you can play as the zombie attacking people, and they've had a very frequent amount of DLC come out, free updates, adding new weapons. I mean, this to me is, if you like killing zombies, you're not going to find a better game out there on modern consoles than Dying Light. It is so much fun. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, co-op too. Woo! So much fun.
Awesome.
Now, I have a tie at number three.
Oof, interesting.
And the reason it's a tie, because when you talk about the games that you put the most hours into, I had to include both of them. Mario Maker, just, again, my son and I just creating levels and playing other Mario levels. It's been a fantastic experience so far. And I have to include The Taken King. I mean, just for the simple fact, just the amount of hours that I've put into Destiny for 2015. I mean, you know, it has its flaws, which, and it has some more recent flaws, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the new year, which kind of has me a little sketchy on the game going into 2016. Yeah. But just overall, just time spent, I mean, I have to include it. So Mario Maker and Destiny The Taken King.
Awesome. Great picks, too. All right, so number two, I go with Rise of the Tomb Raider. I played over 25 hours. I think close to 30 hours already of this game. So I loved it. I went playing the campaign. I took my time exploring and finding out different puzzles, and I discovered new areas that I missed the first time too. So, you know, highly recommend it. I love the first one, but I think this is like a better Tomb Raider game now. So, I know a lot of people have like questions about sales and all this nonsense, looking at Paris, but this game overall, it's so much fun, man. I loved it, man. You know, hopefully people will give a chance once it comes out for PC and also PlayStation 4 sometime next year. So make sure to purchase this and support it. I hope to see, you know, the series to continue in the future, man. So.
And this was probably the more difficult decision, was seeing which one was going to be one and two. And I've flip-flopped over the last couple, over the last week or two as to which one I wanted to go. But I'm going to go with Rocket League at number two.
Ooh, great pick.
So much silly, stupid fun in this arcadey type game. If you haven't had a chance to pick it up, I highly recommend. Out of all of these, if it's just, if you have one game to pick, I would almost say go with Rocket League, because there's just so much silliness. But if you're limited by, your internet or online connectivity, don't, I guess I could say would be your only knock, because while it's fun to play single player, it's obviously much more fun to play with a lot more with people that you know, and you're on the same team with or friends. So yeah, Rocket League.
Can I just throw one thing in there on that? I've only included games that I actively play, but my son plays that game all the freaking time. I get the addiction. I see it firsthand. It definitely deserves to be up there in the top games of the year.
Definitely. I don't, because I'm terrible at it. Shout out to David.
But that's why it's so much fun. Just watching the bad part is almost as good as watching the success. True. It's so much fun.
All right.
All right, so for me, number two, it had to be Rainbow Six Siege. This is, in my opinion, my favorite team-based multiplayer first-person shooter all year, and arguably one of the most addictive games I have played in recent memory, probably even going back to maybe even Rainbow Six 3 Black Arrow, you know, jumping past Vegas 1 and 2, which I loved a lot. But I'm putting the amount of dedication I used to put in back when I was a teenager, back on original Xbox Live with 3 and Black Arrow. I love Siege. The destructibility of the environments, the uniqueness of the different operators working together between attack and defense, the asymmetrical multiplayer, the communication. You never had the same experience twice. And I have made so many new friends on Xbox Live through this game. And you just don't really do that anymore when everyone talks in party chat, doesn't use their mic whatsoever. Siege brings together communities. It's so much fun to succeed. And even when you fail, you're learning something from every death. It's never frustrating if you go in with the right mindset. This is a game I'm going to continue to play on Xbox. I'm going to pick it up on PC early next year and play it even more after that. I adore this game. I highly recommend it if you love tactical first-person shooters. Ubisoft really hit it out of the park this time, Rainbow Six Siege, and all the DLC is going to be free for the entire of 2016, so it's worth it for the money, absolutely.
Wow, that's some strong words, but okay, that's love dope. It. Very, very cool.
My number two is Fallout 4. I mean, you know, for everything that everyone's already talked about with that game, it's just the scale and the scope of everything that you can do in that game. It just has to be one of the games of the year, in my opinion.
I think the number one, I think we have the same game. I'm not 100% sure for number one.
I'd be shocked if we did.
I think we're all in agreement here.
The fact is that nobody has said it.
Yeah.
I think it's almost like the unwritten rule.
The number one game of the year, in my opinion, hands down, and I've been saying this since the beginning of the year, The Witcher 3. Wow. A true gaming experience. Open world, so well done. I know a lot of people talk about, Fallout and these other games like Dying Light, open world, but just the design in this game, so well done, man. So well done. And just the expansion packs, and I know they released one a couple months ago, and they're going to have another one coming up early next year. This has been my favorite game in years. Love The Witcher 3. What about you guys? The same thing?
Oh, well, yeah, it saved 2015 for me. It let me know that there are game developers out there that are willing to take risks and expand upon certain genres. Because like you said, this open world, this is a true open world experience. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we just talked about Fallout 4. This goes above and beyond what Fallout 4 is doing, what Bethesda is doing with open worlds, and it kind of sets the bar moving forward. And you know, you want to say you got an open world game, it's going to be directly compared to The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. And like you said, the DLCs that are coming out, it's a game that I want to just keep playing. I don't want it to end. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the sign of a fantastic game. I don't want to see the credits roll in this game. I just want to keep getting into adventures and just keep exploring and going to dungeons and just do all that stuff. It is a fantastic game. Graphically, it's beautiful. You know, gameplay, you know, the sword fighting, it could use a little tweak here or there, but no game's going to be perfect. But overall, it's just, yeah, it was the best game to come out in 2015.
Yeah, and another thing too, like the way how they released the game and they had free DLC content for weeks, and then they started adding, you know, expansion packs and stuff like that. Like that was pretty cool from the developers too. You know, like a lot of developers like to take advantage and just sell everything, you know, the store. But to have free content and balance it out with premium and free, I think that was a great move too by them. So
I gotta say, Paris, I'm shocked you didn't enjoy the sword combat as much as I did. I think it's the best sword fighting mechanic I have seen in an RPG probably ever. It just feels
I didn't dislike it. There were a few frustrations here and there. I mean, again, it's nitpicking, you know what I mean? Overall, I thought it was fine, but I think it could be a little better.
Was it camera, Paris? Was it camera view or no?
That's part of it. Okay. Yeah,
I just felt, I mean, unlike previous, you know, maybe like the Assassin's Creed games where like you don't really feel like you're actually fighting a large group of enemies because they take their time, Bruce Lee style. This game, I actually felt the threat of like when enemies get behind me, that's bad. I need to get out of the way immediately. You know, and fighting monsters, of course, becomes even more difficult. I love the magic system. For me, one of the strongest parts of this game is actually the writing. The narrative in this game is so good. I haven't seen things like this outside of maybe, you know, novels that I read, because I legitimately felt emotion, empathy. I felt, you know, guilty from some of the choices that I made, because, you know, I tried to do the honorable or the right thing, and turned out something was deceiving me or lying to me, and I ended up getting innocent people hurt, murdered. You know, it felt an emotional connection, which was so strange because I did not play Witcher 1 or 2. You know, I'm very inexperienced with Geralt of Rivia, but after, you know, 200 hours later, I was so invested as Geralt. You know, I felt the pain of all the emotions. So as Paris said, you know, when I actually beat the game and the credits rolled, I was like, whoa, hold up. Did I really just do that? Was that my actions? I almost felt like restarting the game and doing it again. I was like, no, you know what? That was my unique experience. I can walk away from that. And then, of course, you know, I played the DLC that came out, Heart of Stone, one of the better DLCs I've ever played. Incredibly fun. I loved it tremendously. Mm-hmm. This is a game I'm going to play so much in the coming next year, desperately waiting for a new expansion to come out. CD Projekt Red, you killed it. Like Pierre said, this is a bar that has been set, and I hope that developers take that as a challenge, but it might, honestly, we have to wait until Project Red's next game, Cyberpunk 2077. That's already a must-buy. I know nothing about that, and I know given this track record from this developer, they have my money already. Like, these guys make amazing games.
Amazing game, yep.
Every developer out there, look at this. This is the new standard. Go after it. Don't be afraid of the challenge. Don't be threatened by this. Take this as inspiration to be like, you know what? If they can do that, then I can do this.
Yep.
This is a warning shot across the entire bow of the industry. I adore this game tremendously.
What else can be said? It's the hands down game of the year. I know a lot of people had issues with it because, oh, you know, it's either the file was too big or, you know, it's hands down. I mean, hey, it got me back into PC gaming, which had kind of fallen off after a while. It's not like you're going to be, you know, starved for content. You know, just with the DLCs alone, you get an additional 50 total hours with the two DLCs. I think it's 25 and 30 or something like that in the total number of gameplay hours. Not to mention that you could sit there and play for 200 plus hours and still not finish the game with the amount of side quests and everything. God knows, I probably spent more time on side quests. I think Paris did the same thing. You know, spent more time on side quests than you did on actual game missions. Yeah, it's just a phenomenal game. From the story, the right, you know, just visually, you could just sit there and just jaunt along the countryside on Roach, and just it's like a moving screensaver for you. It's phenomenal. Game of the year.
All right, so that was our top games of 2015. You know, I just want to say, you know, thanks for listening and supporting GTR throughout the whole year. And I'm telling you, 2016 is going to be a bigger year for all of us, man. So, and I also would like to thank, you know, the whole crew, Pete, Patrick, and Paris. Thank you so much for all the help throughout this year. This is the first year that we haven't taken a week off at all. We had content every week, you know, so I would like to say thanks. And it was a great experience of all, you know, working together, you know, as Voltron, you know, and even during E3, we did a great job too, you know, recording in a professional studio for the first time. And I remember looking at you guys and I was like, guys, this is a dream come true. Just take this moment and just enjoy it, you know? So I just want to say thank you, man. And thanks to all the supporters that have been listening to our show, you know, throughout the whole 2015 and spreading the word. You know, the more support we get in 2016, the better it is, not only for us, but also for you guys too. So any last words, guys, before we wrap it up?
I think that's it. Yeah? I don't know what else we can say.
Okay, cool. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com. Also, play that it. Listen to our past episodes and subscribe. Find us iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Spotify. Share it with friends and let them know to subscribe to GTR. Also, give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, if you have any questions, feedback about this episode or previous episodes. And this Monday, January 4th, we're going to have a big interview with Aaron Greenberg. You don't want to miss this. It's a pretty big interview, and I can't wait for that to come out. And that's it. Hopefully see you guys next year. And that's it. I'm out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.